Edson, you'll be meeting these men. They're the world's most incredible talkers.
I'm Kathy Lee Crossley. This is Jim Bullet Bailey. You'll be dragged down the track while holding on to this metal sled to over 160 miles an hour.
I'm Brad Targeter.
Weeks ago, we showed you exclusive footage of the heroic rescue operation performed by the Air Force at the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas. You'll meet some of the men who flew that courageous mission.
On tonight's edition of...
That's Incredible.
That's incredible, isn't it?
A Houlihan. That's fucking incredible. That Fran Tarkington. What the fuck? Here is a definition of the word incredible. So we can be clear on this point, you fucks. Impossible to believe. Impossible to believe is one definition of incredible. For example... three buildings collapsed on 9/11. World Trade Center 1, 2, and 7. World 1 and 2 collapsed about the same time. They pancaked upon themselves as if they were imploded and not actually impacted, which is just a random interesting fact. They collapse at faster than free fall speed. That's also really weird. They tell us that... magically, passports survived that, but yeah, buildings designed to take a near hit from a tactical nuclear weapon, buildings designed to take a direct hit from a Boeing 707, which basically, in terms of mass and velocity, way worse than the shit that hit them that day, and yet somehow those planes and that jet fuel melted the girders and caused a spontaneous symmetric collapse. But what's more interesting is that World Trade Center 7 fell exactly the same way several hours later. It wasn't hit by any airplanes, no. It just had some files and data related to things like Enron and, you know, the Department of Defense and the fact that the crocodile rules your life and you live on the Death Star, and the Death Star sucks. They don't want you to know this. So they set fire to the file cabinet, and they did it in one of the most horrific ways possible to give them an excuse to steal more shit, like oil and crap. There you go. But they told us some terrorists with box cutters took over some planes and basically caused World War III. And I think that's incredible. The story of the government about 9/11, no matter what you want to believe about what happened, if you actually believe a bunch of fucking goofballs with box cutters did this, fine, okay? I can't convince you of anything. Water is wet. Those buildings symmetrically imploded. There's only one way you can achieve that, and you cannot achieve it with an asymmetric collision. It is, by definition, mathematically impossible, no matter how hot jet fuel burns, because there was only so much jet fuel in the plane. I'm sorry, it's about physics, folks. If 50 planes hit the World Trade Center buildings, then yes, all those girders would have melted, but there was not enough energy. Only a spontaneous fusion event would have generated enough energy to do what would happen that day. Okay, that's reality. Ask yourself, how much energy does it take to melt steel? Because they do this. This is something people do for a fucking living. And guess what? It ain't easy, and it's dangerous as fuck. So ask yourself, how much energy does it take to actually make the steel girders in the first place? And then ask yourself, how much fuel was in that plane? It's a simple fucking math problem, people. And if the numbers don't add up, something more interesting happened on 9/11. You had fusion. You had new energy. The planes created wormholes. Or maybe the story that the government told us is, you know, incredible. Impossible to believe. I find it easier to believe that some goofball in the late 70s or early 80s would strap himself to a car and have himself pulled at 160 miles an hour. I believe that shit. My dad, you know, he once, you know, water skied through Deception Pass, so I believe that shit. But do I believe the government story about 9/11? No. I think in the future there's going to be a show, a That's Incredible show. It'll be a special one. A special episode, maybe the last one, maybe the only one left before everything goes to hell. Sometime in the future, right? Sorry for the rant about 9/11, September 11th. It's just that, you know, it's 2019, folks, and we've been going around the world setting places on fire for almost 20 years now because of something that might have been a colossal lie. And if you're an atheist, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. It does not matter. If you don't believe in God, if you don't believe in heaven or hell, it just doesn't really matter. I'm not saying you don't care. You probably do if you're a good person. But if you're an atheist, in the wide scheme of things, it might not matter at all. Although I've known atheists who are conscientious and who would say, you know what, Dan, I'm an atheist, but I think of myself as a good person, as a humanitarian, as a humanist. I care about people. Well, that's great. I'm glad you care about people. But here's the deal, folks. World Trade Center 1 and 2 symmetrically imploded from an engineering standpoint to literally fall into your foundation like that. There is no way that happens naturally in nature. Nature abhors straight lines. Those types of straight lines, nature hates them. But given the fact that the collisions themselves were asymmetric, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, one building could have toppled on the other. That's maybe possible. But even then, that probably wouldn't have happened because like I said, folks, there's only so much energy used. If you have full tanks on a jet airplane, that's only going to produce so much energy. And if you think you're going to melt enough steel to build the World Trade Center with the fuel you have on a flight to go across the country, can I sell you a bridge in San Francisco? Because you're not, okay? Number one, foundries are optimized. You know what? Burning buildings are not optimized. Foundries are optimized to maintain high temperature. Guess what? These planes, when they hit those buildings, all they were was chaos. So there's no optimization. So you have to ask yourself, in the least optimal fucking cauldron possible, could you equally melt all the fucking steel, keeping that mass from collapsing? And the answer is no. I didn't even do the math. I can literally do it in my head because I've been around steel plants. It is not even feasible. You have to meditate on the amount of steel, the amount of structure. And if you want to think of this in raw terms, it's about energy. A certain amount of energy was required to build that building, folks, to give it the structure it has. There is a certain amount of mass that is in that structure. You need a certain amount of energy to do what happened on that day. to cause the entire structure to collapse upon itself, you need a lot of fucking energy. And it's not the energy you're going to get from jet fuel, sorry. I mean, unless jets start to, like, you know, burn C4 or Semtex, then maybe. Yeah, I guess if the jets start to run off of Semtex. Yep, we've put Semtex in buckyballs, Dan. We've emulsified C4. Holy fuck, I feel like I just gave the deep state an idea. Dan, we figured out how to emulsify C4 in tiny carbon buckyballs. These tiny carbon buckyballs contain a tiny amount of C4. And we mix this into a special gumbus. This gumbus is fueled into a ramjet engine. And we have a spontaneous C4 explosion of love. It is the power of the C4 that gives it joy. It is the power of the molecules releasing energy that is trapped in the bullshit of humanity's own mistakes. Yeah, guys, I don't know, but what I will say is this. I do not believe the story, but I will admit, during that first year or two, I kind of did, because I couldn't accept the truth. Here's the thing about horrible, horrible truths. Horrible truths almost always lose every competition. There's a reason why the Cassandra myth is a core myth. It's a core myth because it's a core story. It's a cautionary tale. Beware if you're the person that tells people stuff they don't want to hear. I know there's more to Cassandra than just that. But people don't want to hear things like, tomorrow, the volcano will explode. They just bought a vacation home there. They just started building a life on that fantastic tropical paradise. And you're saying no, buddy. You're saying no, buddy, tomorrow the volcano explodes. Nobody likes that person. Believe me, I know this from experience. It is Sunday, I believe it is December the 22nd, nearing 11:30 a.m. for those of you in the Pacific time zone, quadrant Delta X-ray Delta 5 dash. We are all in quadrants now, various quadrants on an infinite plane. And no, I'm not talking about the flat earth, you fuck. I'm talking about space-time. We are on the infinite plane of space-time. Our energy is conserved. But our love, it dwindles. Yeah. Yeah, I'll admit, folks, growing up, I liked that show, That's Incredible. And I think I liked it because on some level, I kind of knew it was bullshit. Like, the stuff they would talk, like Gravity Hill, okay? Oh my God, Gravity Hill. I don't know where this unique optical illusion is. It's probably some special hill, where people grow trees a certain kind of way, such that certain trees are shorter when you're closer to them or taller, as the case may be. And the trees themselves are all the same kind, of different height, but basically the same shape. So Gravity Hill looks like a hill, but it's really just, you know, yeah, it's a hill the other way. You think you're going up, though, but you're going down. No, you think you're going down. You think you're going up, but you're going down. Yeah, so Gravity Hill was this place. I don't know where it is. It's probably someplace Hobunk nowhere. And I'm not making fun of rednecks right now. Fuck, I am a redneck. I'm proud of it. The point is, probably Hobunk nowhere. Probably North fucking Dakota. Who the fuck knows where? Probably some fucking road where, optically speaking, it looks like you could be on a hill if you put the camera at the right angle. Which means they probably did this. They probably sent in a tape. I mean, it's all about perspective. I can make it look like a car is magically rolling uphill by just changing the angle on the fucking camera, people. I mean, and that's not even very complex special effects. I mean, that's basic shit, like the crap that, you know, NASA pulled off during Apollo. Really, really basic kindergarten special effects. Hey, what if we slow people down? It'll look like they're floating. Oh yeah, we can do that. If we slow them down, everything will look all magically floaty. And it's not like in the future anybody's gonna take the recording and, you know, speed it up. No, no one did ever do that, Bob. Also, you know that whole John of God bullshit? You know the dude, the spiritual healer that Oprah loved? The dude that turned out to be kind of a rapist and a kind of a killer douchebag piece of shit? Just a total piece of shit. Pedophile, rapist, murdery piece of shit, John of God. And here's the thing to keep in mind, folks. The terrible truth about being a Christian is you know that just about anybody could say, hello, my name is Gumbus McGee. I believe in God. Oh, you do? Well, that's great. I believe in God. I believe in God. I believe God talks to me. Well, that's interesting. God tells me to perform psychic surgery using chicken gizzards. God tells me to, like, do terrible things to young women because, hey, he's God. You ever read about Abraham and Isaac, you fuck? So I think John of God or somebody like him was on That's Incredible also. I think I remember an episode of the whole psychic surgery. And yeah, the psychic surgery shit, that shit's pretty fucked up. I mean, no matter how you cut it, I'm sorry. Also, free admission, gotta admit to this, I finished off 32 ounces of Miller High Life and a few bags of Northwest Cannabis Solutions Blue Dream from their Legends collection purchased from Uncle Ike's today. It's a sativa hybrid. 28% THCA. I prefer 50. So I'm doing this podcast lit, and I'm wondering, is it better or worse? You remember those jazz guys? Weren't they so sexy and cool? They would smoke a J as they played their fucking jazz. They would be so fucking cool. Yeah, I think John of God might have been on an episode of That's Incredible. And if not him, some other dude in the Philippines or someplace like that doing the same type of bullshit, you know? Come on down. I'll stick my fingers deep into your belly without cutting into you, but it'll feel terrible. And I'll have a little bit of chicken gizzard and blood hidden in my hand like every good magician. And it'll look like I'm removing a tumor, but I'm really not. And then maybe, you know what, guys, the placebo effect. For those of you in college studying psychology, the placebo effect is a real thing. And some people got better with John of God. It was the placebo effect. And yeah, that just makes the cult worse. Because it turns out the placebo effect does pretty good. In a lot of cases, it's 50-50, and when compared to other techniques, it does better sometimes. Like, you know, that's why they test against placebo. Like, is this better than just giving somebody a sugar pill? And that's the thing about John of God. He had people that probably got better. And that's what's kind of depressing about it. Next topic, but like I said, that's incredible. 9/11 story our government gave us, that's incredible. The fact that we went to the moon and forgot how we went there, that's incredible. The skies that look absurdly strange and they tell us that everything's normal and it's not, it's obviously not, and that's incredible. So there's a lot of incredible shit, people. A lot of bullshit. A lot of impossible things that are probably impossible, but the government's telling you that they are real because they need you to believe. It's kind of like the bullshit about the future. You know, in the future, there'll be robots. There'll be robots in the future. There'll be robots doing work for us in the future. They'll run around on little wheels and they'll take care of our shit. They'll even clean up our shit. They'll even fucking clean our buttholes in the future. There'll be fusion-powered robots in the future. And these robots will be designed to clean our buttholes. These fusion-powered robots will clean our buttholes so well, we will be known as the Butthole Monkey Civilization in the future. In the future, we'll travel through space, spreading ourselves across the worlds, looking for oil. Of course, we'll come across indigenous peoples. Some of them will be tougher than us and we'll turn away. Some will be weaker and we'll set their cities on fire. In the future. It's incredible. The future is going to be amazing, people. Here's a statement you can meditate on. If we want to survive on planet Earth, we need to be like cats. Okay. What do I mean by cats? Well, maybe not cats in particular, although I think they're a good example of this, but certain types of apex predators, and arguably all apex predators, become really good at being lazy, which means they conserve energy, which means they don't really move around if they don't have to. They don't. If they can sit in a spot and digest their food and relax and not give a shit, as long as there's plenty of food to eat, that's what they do. And the reality is this, folks, it's kind of smart. Because in it is built the implication that you depend upon the natural environment. I depend upon the world, people. If you think that I'm in a magical little cube with holes and the holes are plugged by corporations that make the oxygen and the water and the food, no, that pretty much comes from the earth. And so we depend upon clean air. We depend upon clean water. We depend upon soil that exists, A, and is not toxic, B. We depend upon things. I depend upon nature. Now, does that mean I want a government to solve a problem involving nature? How can I say this? We are in the mess we are in today, mostly because of worship of government. Because the only way, you can say, well, what about the bankers? Listen, the bankers and the dirty-ass motherfuckers, they take advantage of corruption. And government, by definition, is pure corruption. It is corruption of free will. It is corruption of God. And it is corruption of our relationship with the world. And if you say, well, shouldn't we try to solve some problems together? Of course we should. But does that mean we need a government or some voluntary project? Because I think the voluntary project will succeed, and the government thing will be your doom. I think cats are smart. I think, you know, if you observe your own house cat, does it really move around that much? And I'm not saying you should be lazy. I'm saying more like, why is it we think we need to live a certain way? Why is it we feel like we have to buy a new phone every year? I think a cat would buy a phone and it would use it until it broke. That's my theory of cats. Cats would buy the first iPhone. And if the first iPhone were actually built very well, it would be probably this year or next year. They say, oh, I need a new one, iPhone 2. How many iPhone models have we had since 2007? It's been a couple. I think we're predators and we want to pretend we're not. You know, it's one of those things where we want to pretend we're not. We want to say, oh, we're not predators, Dan. We're like the rabbits. We're like the fucking deer. No, those are the things we eat. And until you fucking figure this shit out, you will doom yourself and you will doom the planet Earth. Because of all the things that threaten us, perhaps the most threatening thing is delusion. We have deluded ourselves into believing we're something that we're not. And because of that, we have fucked and fed and pooped and toxified the world to the nth degree. And guess what? You can eat tofu. You can eat worms. You can eat Greta Thunberg. There's one of her. You can eat whatever you want to. Okay? It doesn't matter. If the life system collapses, there's not going to be any worms. There's not going to be any fucking gumbus to eat. There won't be anything. And if you're expecting it to be some gentle fucking, oh, well, Dan, it'll be like sledding down the mountain. Okay, I want you to imagine gently skiing down the mountain. Dan, it'll be like skiing down the mountain. I want you to fucking imagine, put on your fucking intelligence cap right now, and imagine you're an average skier, not an expert, average, and you're gently skiing down a mountain that no one has ever skied down before, and is not groomed, and is not checked out, and guess what? You could end up skiing right off a cliff, and no one's gonna care. Then go ahead and tell me, Dan, it's just like skiing down a mountain. Yes, it is. A mountain that will probably kill you. The fact is this, folks, we could eat tofu and rice. We could eat fungus. We could eat anything. And if we keep treating the earth the way we treat it, you know, shitting where we eat, literally, and then going on these little delusional trips where we fucking practice leave no trace, where we go camping and we'll say, oh, I'm not going to leave any trace behind. I can't believe those rednecks left that cigarette there. And then you go back to your fucking city, surrounded by cigarette butts, and you shake your head and look at your glowing rectangle, you fuck. And I promise you, that city, no matter how clean the streets are, a giant stacking Lego box of predators is always going to be toxic as fuck. I'm sorry. It's just our fucking diet, you stupid fuck. You want to pretend things. You want to go to pretend land. And that will doom you. You're just like the first fucking humans. You know, with your little fucking cave paintings. Oh, I didn't kill a bunch of fucking buffalo. I sent their spirits to heaven. No, you didn't, you stupid fuck. Now, unlike the tiger, who at least has to fucking bite into his or her prey, you used your fucking brains to chase a bunch of fucking buffalo over a cliff. Good for you, human. You figured out how to do mass murder. Oh, shit. Did I shock you? Did I just tell you that Stone Age people figured out mass killing? Yeah. Tigers don't kill that way, people. They wouldn't even know how to, and they would consider it wasteful. But we humans, we love to do shit like that right from the fucking beginning. And yeah, it's very fucking clever until it's not. It's really clever until it doesn't work. You see, ultimately, with the technology of 30 or 40,000 years ago, there was only so much we could do. I mean, we could use spears, we could use rocks, we could use slings, we could use spear throwers. There were basic technologies we had and rudimentary bow and arrow. And maybe even other tech, you know? But the point is, it was limited and it was kinetic. And we were clever, and we could cause landslides, and we could force animals into gullies and trap them. There are things we knew how to do. The more we did this, the further we distance ourselves from the act of killing. Here's the thing, folks. There's a big difference between killing with a rock and killing with your teeth. If you don't believe it, I don't know. I don't know how to tell you. There's no way to learn it, I don't think. Not unless you go to some fucking encounter thing in Africa where they let you sink your teeth into a gazelle or something. But other than that, there's no way for me to convince you this is true. I want you to believe this is true and take it on faith and then do your own research. But there's a big difference between killing with your own teeth and your own hands and killing with a rock or scaring an animal over a cliff. Big, huge difference. One of these requires an intimate connection to the action of killing. The other one is basically abstract. And hence the fucking cave paintings. Oh yeah, we sent the buffalo to the spirit land, and yahubaloo, hubbabaloo. Did you hear Bob figure out how to ferment some of that gumbus? Holy fuck, wonderful. Now we can even drink more to the fucking buffalo. Goodbye, buffalo. We're so sorry. But we sent you to a better place. Beyond in buffalo heaven. Tigers don't do this bullshit, people. Tigers don't delude themselves. Tigers don't delude themselves, people. We humans do. But the delusion creates a lie. So you live in a city, you think, oh, I got a tube. The tube I poop into, the tube that I get water out of, the tube I get food from. Well, that's not quite here yet, but in a way it almost is. I mean, frankly, if we have a situation where food becomes scarce, I can imagine food tubes. Food tube, here's your tube flow. Your flow of tube food. Add a flavor packet to make it what you want. It's just tube food. Get your tube food. It's filled with Gumbus McGee. It's filled with special stuff from the Planet 3. Get your food tube. It's filled with greases and oils. Keep in mind, it never spoils. The food tube is awesome. The food tube is pure. The food tube is good for you. Go put your mouth on the food tube. That's what I told my hooker last night. I'm kidding. I don't have money for hookers. I ain't got no cash for no fucking hookers. So I don't know. Maybe I'll switch topics here, but I do. I think we could learn from cats. I'm not saying don't be driven, don't have goals. That's not my point. I would just want people to be more observant of why they're doing things. I think great predators are efficient. Great predators are really fucking efficient because they know they can't just go around eating everything all the fucking time. They also know it's kind of nice to relax. I mean, yes, the job of a predator is horrific. They have to feed off the sickly and the dying from the top of the food chain. And that can get depressing, probably. That if you actually have a fucking soul, unlike the soulless humans making their fucking cave paintings. If you have a soul, probably killing anything hurts you. And so, yeah, the cat will eat when it needs to. And it'll sleep when it wants to. And in all likelihood, the cat will be in balance. The cat will find balance with its ecosystem. And the human will grow as fast as bacteria, in a relative sense. Next topic. Is it okay if I say that I'm black until I'm 70? Now, keep in mind, recently I discovered something that I didn't know was true. For much of my life, I believed I was a little bit Scandinavian. And frankly, even though I'm about to say what I'm about to say, that could still be true. But in recent years, I've discovered that I might be 100% Celtic, if not 100% Irish. And I'm definitely ginger, baby. Take a look at my gingerbread. But I'm saying, what if Elizabeth Warren, how old is she? She's got to be at least 70, right? So for decades, she said she was Cherokee. For decades, she took advantage of the fact that she was a Cherokee Indian woman. For decades, she could say, oh, I get to go to this Indian conference and drink Gumbus wine because I'm Cherokee. My people suffered because I'm fucking Cherokee. My people went through grave sadness because of the white man, because look at me, I'm Elizabeth Warren, and I'm an Indian. I'm a fucking Cherokee. Simple question. Did Barack Obama ever work in the fields? Did he ever work in the fields one fucking day? And I mean cotton fields, any kind of fields. Well, here's the deal. Growing up, when I was a kid, I worked in the fields. I picked bulbs. I picked cucumbers. I worked in the fields, baby. Did Barack Obama ever work in the fucking fields? I worked in the fields. So on that point alone, I feel like I have a right to call myself more black than Obama. Obama has all this fucking street cred about being black, but in reality, he's a fucking poser. And yeah, if he's not at least half white, the parts of him that claim to be black are just pretty much white as fuck. Because he's always fucking lying. He's always a fucking terrible piece of shit. And isn't that the current definition of being white? That you're a scumbag? Right? Anyways. So, if Elizabeth Warren, let's say, I don't know how old she is. Let's check out her age. Because then I can verify how long I get. I want to know how long I get on this one. Because I'm going to become black. I've decided this. I need to become a black man. It's simply a matter of time. It had to happen. Let's see. Elizabeth fucking Warren. Spelled that way. Warren. Yeah. Everyone loves her. Oh, fuck. Elizabeth Warren is what? She's okay, she's exactly 70 years old. Good news. Okay. I figured she was about 70. So my basic, you know, construct for this discussion remains true and useful. Is it okay for the next 20 years? That's all I'm asking for. For the next 20 years, can I call myself black? And you'll say, Dan, you don't really want to be a black man. You should see how I live, baby. I think I'm okay with being black. In fact, there's probably black people that would say, shit, you're living real rough there, Dan. Be black until I'm 70 years old. And you'll say, well, Dan, what are you going to get from that? What are you going to get from that? Well, here's the deal. If a man can say he's a woman, like I think I saw a woman driving a bus today that had a mustache. And it's possible that I'm wrong, but my theory is she was a woman and wants to be a man, and King County Metro is going to pay for it. And you know what, folks? If our worst problems at this point in human history were turning men into women and women into men, then I don't know how I would feel about that absolutely, as long as people paid for that bullshit themselves. They should know that any kind of elective surgery is dangerous. In fact, calling it dangerous is putting it mildly. So yeah, I don't know what to say, but if men can be women and women can be men and dogs can be dolphins and the whales can become gorillas and the gorillas can become coyotes and the coyotes can become monkey bears, then why can't I become a black man? My name would be Slade Monkton, a proud black man that lives in the Central District. I already have a Twitter profile I created last year during the NPC war. Check out Slade Monkton at Twitter. That's me, you fuck. So, what if I was Slade Monkton? Slade Monkton's tough. Slade Monkton is smart about the streets. Slade Monkton's a hustler. He gets things he needs. Slade Monkton's got cool, you know what I mean? Slade Monkton is in charge of his own self. Slade Monkton is the guy you'd want on your side in a pit fight. Slade Monkton's the guy that stands up for the neighborhood. Slade Monkton's not afraid to be a dad. He's also not afraid to be a gangbanger. Slade Monkton knows what a 9mm is. Slade Monkton knows how to load a shotgun. Slade Monkton will wield a bat if he has to. Everybody loves Slade Monkton. I don't know what to tell you guys. I told you I was high and I was drunk. Well, not that drunk. One 32-ounce Miller High Life only gets you so far down the road of the Miller High Life, but that's all I could afford for today. And you know what? It's probably more than I should have, although less than I care to have. Do I care? Do I really care in the end which of the ultimate freaks takes my body beyond the River Styx? Do I care what happens in the distant land? Do I care what became of the ancient priests of Zombor? The answer is no. Do I care what happens to Beans, my sister's French bulldog? Not really. If he catches fire, I'd probably say, you know, that's incredible. But also expected. You know, spontaneous human combustion was also an episode of That's Incredible. If you listen to my podcast and you enjoy it, hullabaloo, and you believe that funding a podcaster in Little Saigon who sometimes drinks and vapes marijuana is a worthy expenditure of your fucking money, because guess what, full disclosure, I am what I am. If you want me to pretend to be a magical monkey man, oh, I have some gold program. You can buy gold from me. You know what? You can't buy gold from me. I have no fucking gold. And even if I did, guess what? One of the last things I'll ever fucking do is hawk shit to people on this podcast. Sorry. I could one day envision being funded by this guy or funded by that guy, but I'm probably not going to be, yeah, hawking shit. Or hawking, you know, get rich quick, or magical safe havens, or special boxes of special food that will keep you alive when the Gumbus bears arrive. Probably you won't hear from me on that. I don't have any survival kits. I don't have any water purifiers. I don't have any magical penis pills like the ones that Alex Jones sells. Oh, I wish I had Alex Jones' penis pills to sell. It'll turn you into a tiger. Your penis will become 14 inches long if you use my magical Dr. Freckles Global Tontine Club Dr. Grunka certified penis pills. Or you'll get cancer. Probably cancer. And the tumor will be 14 inches in diameter. Yeah, I don't have any penis pills to sell. I don't have any magical survival kits. I can't tell you where on planet Earth there is a safe haven. It might be the case that we're all in the same fucking toilet bowl together. And there's shit on the side that's stuck there because some of us don't always clean the bowl. And what you gotta do for you and the people you love is find a crusty piece of shit on the side of the bowl to hold on to when the great flush occurs. That's some fucking advice. That's the best advice I can give you. And guess what? You don't have to pay for it. But if you do have money, if you have cash and you've paid for your food, your water, your shelter, the people you love, the French bulldog, the cat, even the hookers. And you still have money left over after the cocaine and the hookers. You can donate to me. There'll be a link to Venmo in the description of this podcast. There's a donate link to Venmo on my SoundCloud homepage, baby. And you can donate to me. But you don't have to. And have a, you know, a great rest of your fucking Saturday. I'm gonna go vape another bowl, you son of a bitch.